Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Take two! It's the Red Men TV podcast. We did about 30 seconds of a show before and then it went to shit, so we've just started again.
1 minute 25, actually.
1 minute 25. We go again. We do not let this slip. It is Steve Hoare here with Ross Chanley and Ivo Prokop to talk about what is the biggest week of Liverpool season so far. I feel like I've said all this before, but we're saying it again.
We did.
We've got the Leeds game, obviously we've got the Chelsea final as well. We're going to speak about both of those and what Liverpool are going to do in terms of their strikers, because as it stands, everyone in the squad is fit except for the two centre forwards. So Jürgen does have that issue to deal with as well. If you are watching this live on Twitter, please do click the link in the tweet and come and join us on YouTube. Before we get talking about all those topics then, we'll go again with this one. Yep. Ross, you were halfway through your answer when things decided to go tits up, but we pretend that never happened. So, okay. Ross, here's a question you've never heard before.
Oh, okay.
Would you rather have the looks of Alisson Becker or the ability of Adam... Sorry. Would you rather have the looks of Alisson Becker but the ability of Adam Bogdan, or the looks of Adam Bogdan but the ability of Alisson Becker? And that's from Jith.
Okay. Well, I'll pretend I've never heard it if you pretend you've never heard my answer, and I want the same reaction that I got. I think I've already got the football ability of Adam Bogdan. Dance, my puppets. So I know you just want to look like Alisson Becker, but Eva made the point before of, if you're on a night out, you know, Alisson Becker is the obvious choice there. But if you want to be a goalkeeper for Liverpool Football Club and you want to maintain being a goalkeeper for Liverpool, I think you have to have the ability of Alisson Becker. So, and I'm already ugly, so I'm fine with that. I want the ability of Alisson Becker.
And if you're worried about like the attention of whether girls or boys or whatever you're into, being rich like Alisson Becker would help. Like, you can be good looking and poor, but if you're not so good looking like Adam is, but you've got a lot of money, like, because if you're as good as Alisson, you're gonna be loaded. Yeah. There will still be enough attention there for you.
I'm not a very vain person. I'd rather be good at my job.
Yeah, and get the dough that comes with it. And that might help you attract a partner. They might not be with you for the love.
Yeah.
But if they're a gold digger, he or she, then that's fine as well.
At this point, Steve, I will take that.
So there you go. You're going for the looks of Bogdan with the ability of Alisson.
I think I agree with
you're downgrading, no, because you're a very handsome man, Ivo.
Oh, thank you very much. I love you too.
Fucking hell. Not so much.
I love all of your comments in the YouTube comment section saying I'm Alisson's twin. I saw that last time.
I think you're Joe Wicks's twin.
Owen Hargreaves lookalike, all that stuff coming up. So thank you for this.
So you're downgrading your looks if you go to Bogdan severely.
Yeah, but I think going out on night out looking like Alisson would be really fun. But let's say you want to be a professional footballer, like looking like Adam Bogdan and being a little bit of an underdog, but having the ability of Alisson and surprising everyone would be really great. And then like it means like having the ability of Alisson Becker. That's additionally on being a good goalkeeper. You looking good. You can play the guitar. You can be like a good proper teammate. You have a little bit of that southern.
Lots of barbecue.
Yeah, a lot of passion. And I would say so. Going with the looks of Adam Bogdan, but the abilities, all the abilities of Ali.
The flip side is, if you want to be really good looking like Alisson and be Adam Bogdan, according to Wikipedia, which is obviously true, is still a goalkeeper.
I just looked that up in Hungary.
Yeah, he's still playing in Hungary as a professional at the age of 34. So you are still going to be a professional footballer, and you're going to be very, very handsome as well. So there's an argument for both.
Is he though?
No, but there is. I'm with you though. I think think I would go for the ability of Alisson, the look of Bogdan, because basically you're still going to be one of, if not the best goalkeepers in the world. You will be fine for money, you'll be getting job satisfaction, you'll be playing for an amazing football team. If it, even if it's not Liverpool, it'll be another world class football team.
Klopp would be my boss.
You're in a battle with Alisson for the number one jersey, and he'll probably win that because not only is he the same level of ability, he's better looking as well.
I'd happily take a Divock Origi role at football.
Pay
me money, hang around with loads of cool people, have a better boss.
So Andy App in the chat here, one of our members, hello Andy, said I'd rather have the looks of Alisson Becker, and KC Bolo says you're basically Karius. The looks of Alisson with the ability of Bogdan. you're a really handsome man, you just can't goalkeep for shit. Yeah, so there you go. I'm with you. I think we're all agreed on that one. Second one comes from Jack, another one of our club legends. Hello Jack, who says, what are your favourite games against Chelsea in the Jurgen Klopp era? Obviously looking ahead to this final the weekend, what are you thinking that springs to mind?
I've got two, but I think one's more a moment than a game. So my moment is obviously Fat Frank giving it the big in, kicking off at our bench and then Trent scoring.
And then we win the league in that game.
I think that edges it, but also the Super Cup has to be in there. Obviously it wasn't the best game, the whole Adrian thing afterwards and winning a trophy. True. I think that's my other one, but I think if I had to pick one. The only reason I wouldn't pick that one is because obviously it was behind closed doors and it was still a bit crap, but I think for entertainment purposes and what that game meant, was it 5-2 in the end?
It was 5-3.
Or 5-3, that one, yeah. Cater scored a screamer in that game as well, I think.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Yeah,
Ox scores. 10 Plus scores, yeah. Bobby, then Bobby gets first home goal of the season, like it was the last game as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Eva, what are you thinking?
Difficult because like I also connect a lot of moments to like playing against Chelsea. Like the first Premier League win of Jurgen Klopp was against Jose Mourinho's Chelsea 3-1. Like Benteke scored a brace and Coutinho one, or Coutinho scored two.
Yep.
So I remember this one. I remember the one, like one thing in my head was like the Hendo screamer when we bet them 2-1. Like there was
Lovren scored.
The Hendo strike was one of the best strikes I've ever seen. Like the way it bended in, it was great. But I would say even if it was behind closed doors, for me it was not like the big of a difference because I were not here, so we're just watching it on the telly anyway. And yeah, like having like this little disturbing Tory Frank out there for Chelsea and like fuming against Pep Hernandez and Klopp, and then like Trent scores this, and like it was on the day we won the league.
It was the day we lifted the trophy.
We lifted the trophy, true. Like, yeah, Palace were the one weeks before.
My one is April 19. It was the Mane goal followed very, very quickly by the Mohamed Salah worldie.
Oh,
you know, the absolute thunderball.
2019.
Yeah, was April 19?
Was that
I think it was. Let me just
celebration that he did.
I'm just going to double check. I'm going to check. I've got my dates right. Yeah, it was. It was the, April 19, 14th of April. And it was when we thought we might still win the league title. We were very much in it and we had to beat Chelsea. And it was quite a weird game. And then all of a sudden, Sadio's header. And then, well done to the guys at LFCSG. Yeah, 2 minutes after Sadio's header, Mo Salah scores a goal from...
The roof came off.
Yeah, Anfield was just absolutely electric at that point.
There was one of these games, like in this 12-game, 13-game run where won everything.
Obviously, in the end, it didn't prove to be the title-winning game because obviously Manchester City went perfect. And that probably leads into the topic shortly. But yeah, for me, that time in between when Salah scores, Anfield was just absolutely on its feet. It was absolutely amazing. Going to the chat then, Philip goes along with me, the Salah screamer. We've got who else is in there as well? I think it was Si who says the 2-0 at Anfield, surely. Yes, I think it was you in the chat. Yeah, I 100% agree with you there as well. Cheeky now says that Salah stunner got me barred from my local pub. I hope it was worth it. It was an absolute glorious game. Yeah, and
would it have to find out what they did?
Yeah, no, I don't. I think leave it to the imagination. Also, we don't want to incriminate himself on.
Which is bad.
Yeah, but he might be doing worse. He might have, be naked. Yeah, in fact, no, I do. I need to know. No, let us know. Let us know.
I thought it was your thing. Do let us know. Wrong. I was naked.
His name's Cheeky Naz. So maybe he literally got the cheeks out. Yeah, let us know there, my mates, in the comments, exactly what you did to get yourself barred. In the meantime, while we give Naz a time to type out, before we get onto our topics about the title chat, the strikers, and obviously looking ahead to the final and the Leeds game as well, we're just going to go to a quick message from this show's sponsor.
Hey, Red Men podcast listeners, it is Wembley week over on Red Men Plus, and we've got all angles of the build-up and post-match covered for you guys. We've got a debate show special focusing around the League Cup on Wednesday. We have got the normal build-up show, starting 11, and the watch-along. But in addition to that, there will also be a live, completely free show called The Countdown to Kickoff at lunchtime on final day. When the full-time whistle goes, we will also have our usual content. There will be player ratings, fan reactions, and reaction from Wembley itself. If you need more content in addition to that, we have also got an exclusive sit-down interview with Stuart Downing, man of the match the last time Liverpool lifted the League Cup in 2012, in conversation with. There is a five-part premium podcast series, Liverpool, the League Cup Story, looking at each of Liverpool's eight previous League Cup final wins. And we have also got Silverware Stories, an exclusive mini documentary looking at the Worthington Cup final win, the first part of the famous 2001 treble, with James Sutton and a whole host of Liverpool legends who played in that game itself, from Phil Thompson, Emil Heskey, Marcus Babbel, and even from a Birmingham perspective, Darren Pearce. A phenomenal raft of content for your eyes and ears this Wembley week as Liverpool hopes to lift a ninth League Cup final. Come and join us on Redmen Plus. Head to theredmentv.com to sign up.
Right then, we've got a message back from Cheeky Naz. Why did he get banned from the pub for the Salah goal? He says, I picked my mate up from the waist and threw him up in the air and he hit the ceiling. It was a low ceiling pub. A bunch of Chelsea fans were not very happy with me.
Wow.
Good on you.
Well done. Yeah, fair play to doing it. And listen, at the end of the day, who gives a toss about the Chelsea fans?
Today you can laugh about it.
Yeah. I mean, is your mate to Ed? Hopefully your mate's head's okay. Right then, let's move on. I want to talk about the title picture then. We talk about this being the biggest week of Liverpool season. One of the reasons, Evo, is that the dynamic of the whole title race changed at the weekend, because at one moment, Liverpool, in about the 60th minute against Norwich City, were 1-0 down and things were looking pretty bleak. Liverpool then go and turn that round, and then obviously, as we know, a few hours later, Tottenham go and beat Manchester City in a crazy game where it looked like I was quite happy even with them getting a point, and then the fact that they went and got the winner late on by the guy who they were trying to buy, it was all very poetic. But what it did to me, it showed that Liverpool got this big bunch of steely balls, basically. Liverpool have got that on them. And also, Manchester City are not invincible. People would, like, and I was guilty of this as well. I tweeted out after the Chelsea draw, like, I think that's the league title done. And I was wrong to do so. It's turned out I was wrong. But I was almost in the point when I just thought Manchester City is unfallible. There's nothing you can do. You know, they were just, you were shooting at them, and they were just deflecting bullets off right in the centre. It shows that Liverpool have got the steely bollocks, like I've just mentioned before. But also, it shows, doesn't it, that Manchester City are there to be beaten. So you can beat them. You don't even have to be a great side. Tottenham are the best side in the league. They're a European chasing side. It was a big, big moment, I think, just to show everybody, actually, they are not like this unstoppable force. They can be stopped.
Yeah, defo. Like, it was such a big week. And like, I remember the time around December, early January, where you look at this and we draw Chelsea, and like everyone, like Twitter was full of these, it's Man City's lead to lose now. And okay, bring it on. Like, they feel it. We feel it, that they are not invincible, like you touched on us. Like, and I think it gives us a psychological edge from having like reasonably no chance to going to, okay, we are back in it. And like we always say, like, I think we're going to talk about this later on, like chasing is always easier than being chased. And it's going to be interesting to see how Man City reacts now, because like Everton won't be that easy now with Frank Lampard.
You say that.
Well, it's a little bit too much of hope right now. But like, if we win against Leeds tomorrow, it's like -3, like only 3 points between us. And that's like magical when you compare to our situation at the end of the last year. So bring it on.
What does it do, Ross? I think it was a good weekend for Liverpool to show that, like, Liverpool don't need to be at their best to win. You can make changes. You can have about 45 minutes. I say bad. We were even with Norwich, so that is, in technical, that is bad, because Liverpool should be blowing Norwich out the water. But it shows you can have about 45 bad hour, still come through and win 3-1. And like I say, That in itself should give everyone confidence that, listen, the quality of the squad, Liverpool won that game off the bench, and that hasn't always been something Liverpool have been able to do. Liverpool have had to rely on who's on the pitch because the bench has never been strong enough to win games. You know, your players coming on might be good players or decent players or young kids or whatever, but you've never been able to bring on Thiago Alcantara and Divock Origi. And with all just, like, I know Divock gets his stick, but he's a Premier League striker. He's proven that Thiago's world class.
Yeah.
And Liverpool had a very decent enough side on the pitch, and they would be able to bring things off the bench. I think that was a key moment as well, that, like, you know, if Liverpool do get one or two injuries, we've got no striker. I think it might ease a lot of things about the whole squad depth issue. Listen, if you lose 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 players, yeah, you're going to be in trouble. And we saw that with the Tottenham game when we had to play like young Tyler Morton in midfield, for example. Even then we drew, which actually looks like a better result now given City have lost twice. But
yeah.
I think the fact that Liverpool were able to win the game with their subs is again another huge benefit for us going forwards.
For the second time in the week, because it was the same as against Inter.
Even Burnley as well, subs done well. Yeah.
And Inter Milan was the other one I was kind of thinking of. But that's what we've all kind of asked for. And it's a bit mad that, you know, the excitement around, again, social media of like having a fully fit squad, and now that's short-lived and there's a war incoming, which just feels like terrific timing, to be honest. But to your point, is that's what we've all asked for, that's what we wanted, and the benchmark has been Manchester City, not in terms of the way that they play and the points that they accrue. It's look at their bench, look at their team, and that's why they were always the favourite. Chelsea getting Lukaku in the summer, okay, Chelsea are going to win the title now, that's what everyone was saying. But I think it's the hope that kills you, and what you find hard, and particularly when you're in the middle of a game and you're not performing well, and you kind of go, oh, this isn't going to happen, this, like, we're playing terrible, and the performances don't matter. It's putting points on the board that count. And, you know, I know a lot of people wrote Liverpool off, but I think there was a weekend just before an international break, and it might have been before Christmas or just after Christmas, and Crystal Palace beat Man City at the Etihad, and I think the same weekend Burnley drew with Chelsea. And that was me going, like, trying to convince people of going, anything can happen. Like, I know it would have been great. We've drawn a lot more games that we would have wanted to. But if that can happen any weekend, it doesn't feel like it when you're watching it and everyone watches Man City and goes, they're going to win every game 4-5-0. They will have bad days. They will have days where they're just not up for it, or they're playing a lot of football, or they might have one or two injuries. They will suffer like the rest of the teams in the league. It doesn't feel like it at the time, but it's possible and it will happen. Liverpool now is just putting points on the board, staying as close to Man City as you can do, and being there for when they do slip up, like we did do this weekend.
Yeah,
because the frustration has been Man City have dropped points, but on the same weekend we have done as well.
You can't.
Whereas this weekend was one where actually they've dropped points and we're on it.
I remember, I always thought, Evo, if Liverpool could get to the game at the Etihad, if it was status quo, because we knew this was, you know, pre-January. If you said New Year's Eve, if Liverpool can get to the City game in the same position now, beat them and then narrow the gap down, the fact that since then, you know, with our lads at AFCON, with the injuries we've had, with the COVID issues and stuff, City have actually dropped points in two of their last five Premier League games and Liverpool haven't. So not only, and now we've got all our players back and the gap's quieter or shorter, it's just a wonderful, I wouldn't have never have expected, to be honest. No. I never expected Liverpool to win every single game when Salah, Mane, Naby were not here. Just didn't expect that to happen. All the COVID issues that were going on. We had League Cup semi-finals to play as well. There was lots of games. I'm quite shocked that Liverpool were able to go and just win all of them, which, fair play again, I was wrong on that. But what it's done, Liverpool are now in a better position than they were, and they've got all their players back. I've always wondered, in a title race, do you want to be the hunted or the hunter? And Man City are getting hunted down now. For a long time, when they've either pissed league titles, they had a very, very first one where it went down to the wire. I understand that. But since then, especially in the Pep era, when they've been winning leagues, they've won it. You know, they've always been the ones, either for a long time, it was, can you be hunted down? And to be fair, the one time we tried to do it, we couldn't catch them.
By a point, though.
And it was by a point.
It would have happened last season as well.
Maybe. It was by a point. So Man City have shown, more often than not, they just piss it. But if they do have to be chased down, they've got the ability to pull away. So I think they've shown in both cases that they're mentally strong enough to deal with either of these things. But I think Liverpool would rather be the ones chasing, than being the ones who are being chased by like a couple of points. Listen, I'd rather us all win the league like we did last time by just absolutely storm rolling. But if you're going to be in a tight title race, I always feel, can we be the ones who are chipping away, throw all the pressure onto Manchester City? Every game now, not only are they thinking we have to win, they're looking behind the shoulders, At some point, you'd like to think that would have an impact.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting to see, because a lot of people have different opinions about that, because like they, as fans of as football fans, or just if you compare it to situations in life, whatever, like being a good one, chasing a job, whatever, I don't know, like it's different. People have different experiences and treat it differently. But I always think, like, when you chase, the pressure is even higher, and that's good. It sounds a little bit tricky, but like, you have no right. There's no room for error. You have no right to lose anything. And that somehow is like, because if you are at the top and you've been hunted and you lose, that doesn't immediately mean that something changes.
Okay.
But if you lose in the hunter position, if you lose there, it's harder because the gap could be even more wide, bigger than it was before. So, like, I think it's easier for us to be in the chasing position, and
because it's gonna like rocket up our asses, isn't it? It's what you say. Like, the motivation is there now for us. We don't want that gap getting any bigger. Yeah. I see your point. Yeah,
the whole momentum is really shifting to our side now.
Yes,
and like you talked about, like this knowledge game on the weekend. Away from the Norwich game, when I look back, I think that it was really good how it was. It's not nice being in the stand and going down against Norwich, and you think, oh shit, like what's happening now? Are we bottling this here right now? But like it's better the way we bet them in that moment, like having Mane and Salah, like against Chelsea, score in a really short amount of time in these five or 10 minutes, and then having like a better atmosphere. That's better than beating them 5-0. I want the game against the lower end side, like beating them confidently. I want to have this game with a lot of goals, but I'd rather take these and a weekend like this than the other way.
You're showing character, aren't you? And I think it's also, to Ivo's point, I think there's less pressure being an underdog because the expectancy isn't there. So the whole pressure's on Man City. Everyone's tipped Man City to be favourites, Man City to win the title. And it'll only count, and this pressure will only count if we beat Leeds on Wednesday, because then you're 3 points and they're looking over the shoulder. I think the other thing that, in terms of momentum, which you touched on, was signing Luis Diaz as well. Yeah. And obviously hindsight's a wonderful thing, but now Joss is injured and Bobby's injured, I would feel a lot less confident in his title race or title chase than I am doing now if Diaz wasn't there. And that's not a disservice to Taki or to Origi. But
no, but it is a bit.
Yeah, okay, it is. I'm trying to be polite about it, but to the point of, you know, you're talking about substitutions and bringing people on. You can lose two of your best forwards that you've got, but you're still confident in the ability and the people that you've got there. And in Mane, Diaz and Salah are some amazing options that you've got in your locker. And if you need to rest them or take them off for 5-10 minutes, then you've still got Taki, then you've still got Origi, and you probably Kate Gordon, Harvey Elliott, a push if you need to. So I think it's a frightening prospect for other teams that are facing as well, because you go, oh, they're missing Jota and Bobby, you know. Actually, this is sort of a new lad by his box.
Yeah, you're right. I think momentum, if it is, I think things seem to be going Liverpool's way. I want to talk about that. Let's have a little look before we move on to our Liverpool chat about Manchester City's upcoming fixtures. Should bring them up on the screen now for those of you who are watching on the YouTube channel. I love the fact, Ross, that there was Everton fans having debates. What should we do against Manchester City? Should we try and beat them, or should we just, like, you know, roll over? It's like, lads, as if you've got a choice.
Yeah.
Like, have you watched how crap you
have? We've seen Everton's fixtures in the last week yesterday. They can't be picking and choosing about what games they want
not
to win.
Not that. It's more in general, like, as if it's your choice whether Manchester City beat you or not. Like, we've got a major role to play in this. You have not.
Didn't have a say against Watford. Didn't have a say against Man City.
It's not up to you. It's not up to you guys if you beat Manchester City. It's very much up to Manchester City if you beat Manchester City. But moving after that, they do play Everton. Again, Everton's home form is what, if they're going to survive relegation, it's going to be because they're home form, because they're dreadful away. Then there's a Manchester derby, which, you know, anything can happen. And even when United are poor at times, they can give City games. Then they've got, obviously, it's the Sporting Lisbon game is in there and the Peterborough game. But in terms of league games, Palace, who we know has like took points off them earlier this season.
Yeah.
Brighton, you'd imagine they should win, but Brighton are a very well-organised team. Then they go to Burnley, and then they've got us. Like, there are, again, the Tottenham thing. If you'd have asked me this, if they'd have beat Tottenham convincingly, I'm looking at every one of them games going, they're just going to steamroll through that. Yeah. But because they drew the Saints, and then because they've been beaten by Tottenham, there's a couple in there where you think, ooh, Maybe, just maybe. And listen, I understand, by the way, it's in Liverpool's hands. If Liverpool win every game, Liverpool will win the league. I know that. But I don't think we can bank it's on difficult. That happening. That's going to be really hard to do. If City can keep dropping it elsewhere, then that's fine. And there's a couple of games there. I especially look at the Derby and maybe Palace away, where you think, oh, maybe.
But to be honest, I think there's other games there. And as much as...
I have Wolves away as well later
no on. Hope that Everton will get anything. And it's important to remember some of the context around these games of Everton fighting for survival, Man United fighting for top four, Crystal Palace, Brighton, not so much. Burnley just want to say in a league, Liverpool fighting for a title, Wolves were chasing top four, hopefully still by then, and Watford. So the I don't think you get the same perspective on games because all these teams are fighting for something. And we're starting to see a bit of a few.
There's no mid table. There's very few teams. What you call purgatory? Evo, you're right. It's like every and the same for Liverpool. About everyone will be a title challenger, a top four challenger, maybe a European places challenger. There's a couple of teams in the middle, probably like your Southamptons and your Leicesters, maybe, and then everyone else in a relegation battle. So there's no like
there's no let up
in terms of March and April especially. There's very few teams there who are just on the beach already. Everyone's fighting for something. Yep. City have got them, we've got them. I think the Premier League is so interesting this season for that reason. There's like seven teams in a relegation battle. There's like two teams fighting for a title. And there's about five or six teams in a top four battle. So there's no laying down for anybody. And that's what's going to... There are going to be freak results, and that's why I mentioned like Liverpool can't just win every game. They're just not going to do that. We are going to need some help from somebody else. And there's enough teams that Man City have got in the next few weeks that maybe could do it.
Defo. Like, I were on the podcast something in the end of January, and like with Paul and I think Sam Walker, and we watched, we took a look at these fixtures, and we were like, this time around against Tottenham, that could be crucial these weekends with Sporting. Obviously, they bet them 5-0, but like, they've lost against Tottenham now, and like you said, that's changing the whole narrative about every following game now, because when you beat Tottenham confidently, Manchester United, Everton, Brighton, it seems more, it's a complete different narrative, or looking at it out of Man City's perspective, out of Man City's view. Like, it's easier when you beat them, but now it's more pressure on them and it's not that easy anymore. And I think Brighton could be a challenge. They are a good team. Like, Crystal Palace record against Man City is quite good. We spoke about it, that Tottenham has a little bit of the ingredients and a little bit like a blueprint how to beat them, because they had in the history in the last years, Tottenham was a difficult opponent for Man City. Yeah. It's the same for Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace had a lot of shots in the last years against Man City, so that's not really easy. And then you look at this week and like it's so perfect because like nobody would have thought, okay, Leeds midweek. That could be crucial if we win this and they have to watch us. It's not a normal midweek Premier League match day. It's only us having this postponed game and they are forced to look at this and seeing us beating Leeds, hopefully. Fingers crossed, and we are narrowing the gap for 2 to 3 points. Psychologically, a lot of things going on and these next months going to be wild, but it's like it could be a changing of the guard right now. Yeah.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
had this chat about Spurs, didn't we, a few weeks ago, and I'm going to bring the Crystal Palace record up against Manchester City now on the screen for those of you who are watching along. But basically, it's as, probably as good as you're ever going to get against Manchester City. So this is actually, this is City's record against Palace in recent weeks. So they lost the last game, they won two before that, they drawn, they won two before that, they lost. So like I say, that's as good as you're going to get. You're never going to...
From here and there.
City are always going to get their wins. But yes,
like all those... Or the majority of those wins, Roy Hodgson.
There was like quite a few of them, yeah. Well, but to be fair, like, okay, there was a 2-2 draw, wasn't he, in January 2020. They lost the last game as well. So, yeah, listen, there's room for hope, like I say. I think now, and it's only one result, but it's weird, isn't it, Ross? Like, Manchester City's cloak of invincibility has slipped a little bit, and games that you just presumed they were going to go and win, now everyone's got half an eyebrow raised, going, oh, well, maybe. Because before that, it was like, oh, they're just going to win.
We've seen this over previous years, though. And you find that teams turn up and they've lost the game before the ball's even kicked because they've just assumed they're going to sit deep. And I get it's difficult to approach games against Man City because sit deep and defend, it's inevitable. Yeah. The way they pass the ball around, is phenomenal. It's amazing. But then if you go for it, then you're going to absolutely batter. But there's occasions of Crystal Palace, Wolves, I think, beat them twice on a bounce in recent years. Norwich have beaten them as well. Teams that turn up and actually give them a go and ask questions of them doesn't happen week in, week out. And when they do and go, oh, we've got nothing to lose, or it's a free hit, or you know, some of the teams that I mentioned there, especially the likes of Norwich, again, bring back to the conversation we're having before, the fight for something. So like, we need to go for this game, or if we don't, then what?
What's the point of sitting? Yeah. And I feel this against us. Actually, I actually think teams have decided now against Liverpool, there's no point just parking the bus because we won't get anything. You might as well go down swinging. Norwich have done it a few, like Norwich tried it a few times. Leeds are definitely going to try that.
Brentford did it, and we ended up drawing 3-3 with them as well. I don't think anyone has ever said this sentence in their life, but Brighton's an interesting one because I'd have marked them down that previously before this weekend. I'd have gone, well, that's an interesting fixture. Quite, you know, I more or less fancy Brighton to maybe get a draw out of that game. But then they just lost 3-0 to Burnley, which goes to show how mad the league can be. And these teams, your perception of them have turned up is quite difficult. I think one thing Man City have got an advantage is they've absolutely walked the first leg of the Champions League fixture.
Yeah.
So they can afford to rotate. And like, you know, hopefully he doesn't get overturned.
And they play Peterborough, don't they, in the cup as well, so they can play a reserve.
Oh, what shock. Shock horror.
They'll draw Peterborough in the last eight of Champions League as well. Somehow that'll happen as well.
Yeah, Albion in the final, they'll get that. So, but I think, obviously, the squad that they've got is phenomenal anyway, but to have those fixtures where they can afford to rotate, where I think, you know, we obviously got Norwich, I think we'll rotate for that one in the FA Cup. We've got a final, and then we're playing Leeds. So, and it's also mad because Leeds counts to put pressure on, but then we're back in the same situation this weekend anyway because we should have played Arsenal, but we're playing a cup, so then we've got to bring our game back and then comes back again. So see how that turns out.
It's all to play for. Right then, moving away from Manchester United, let's talk Liverpool. Like I say, in terms of build up the lead show, there's literally a show called the build up to the lead show, so I'm not going to, you don't need to do that. Go back on the YouTube channel, go back in your podcast apps and listen to that one as well, the uncensored match build up ahead of the game. But what I one point ahead of it, and maybe ahead of the final, I want to bring up Evo, is Liverpool's striker issues.
Yeah,
as well as the squad is, and touch wood, everyone's in good nick. Jota's out, Bobby's out. It looks like Jota's more likely to be available for the Chelsea game, perhaps. You've been doing some social media snooping, haven't you, on Jota? And you've got to let us know what you're thinking, is Evo? Because Evo said before, like, I've got some social
knowledge. What's at Navi season tweeted or someone?
Go on.
No. it's so it could be complete nonsense and complete bollocks, but I saw like they have these their team hairdressers, like their barbers. These players,
yeah,
I mean, and this barber of Jota posted a picture like, thanks for coming in, getting your haircut, hashtag, or like the caption was final ready.
Ooh, so maybe Jota's told his barber that he's going to be ready for the final. You've got to hear first.
But that might be a John Terry situation. Where he's going to get full kit.
I might get my haircut for the final. I'm not playing centre forward.
I mean, they could be complete shite. And don't take me as a source right here, as a reliable source. But I just saw that in the morning. We know. Like your hairdresser is also your psychologist. You always talk to them. And
I don't have a hairdresser. I just do myself.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah.
I just look in the mirror. But then I give myself a pep talk. You are looking fine, Steve. You are on top form.
But maybe they talked, and maybe like Jota is fine. It's actually fine, and maybe he just it's a healthy stretch to the weekend.
But fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
I don't think Bobby's looking good though.
No, Bobby looks. I think we're real Bobby out.
Yeah.
It's a few weeks, he said, didn't he?
Yeah, well, yeah, I did it. Emma Sanders texted me after the game on Saturday and was just like, Bobby with a sad face. And I was like, what? And he said, Klopp just said in his press that it's not looking good for Bobby, so it might be a couple of weeks. Although there was talk yesterday that he said, Obviously, they'll assess them both ahead of whatever, but they might be okay. But I wouldn't rush him back. And this is the beauty of having the side that we've got of. You know, I know Bobby's not been everybody's favourite, although he's not performed to the standards of Bobby Firmino of recent years. But if you can afford to not rush him back because you've got Diaz, yeah, Mane, yeah, Salah, and hopefully Jota back in the scene, plus the people that are below them, then they don't rush him back.
Whatever happens, neither of them are going to play against Leeds. Bobby's definitely, we think, I don't think he'd even risk Jota. I think all focus for Jota will be trying to get him fit for Sunday, whether that's a start or if he can get him fit enough to do half an hour off the bench or something. With that being said, then obviously we saw Sadio play up front against Norwich, and all three of the front three that played against Norwich get their goals, and Sadio was an absolute really cool worldie.
Yep.
Like, he looked a natural number nine, even though I thought he had a decent game. But again, being said, if you're not convinced that Jota's going to be ready for Sunday, because I don't think anyone could be confident yet, for him to go the same front three and three consecutive games might be a bit too much. Is there any chance at some point, in my starting them prediction, I stuck the Divock up front. If you haven't watched that, it's on YouTube now, by the way, go and check it out. But my thinking was he might go Origi. He's got Minamino there as well if he needs an option. We've seen Chamberlain play right wing a couple of times and score goals as well. My general consensus is I can't see him risking the front three again against Leeds, because yeah, he needs to make sure that someone's a bit fresher for the final to go up front. My sense was he left Sadio out, but it could be Diaz and he could play Sadio on the left or whatever. But my sense is it might be an Origi or a Minamino game against Leeds.
And I'm definitely okay with playing them. Like, Divock was quietly okay, was he? He was good.
He had an impact. He occupied defenders, yeah, he did.
And it's like, we always talk about that. Our strikers, we have the same with Bobby, and we have the same with Div, that they, like, Div scores important goals, but he's not a goal-scoring machine that every time he comes in that he scores. That is not, like, he's scoring in the big occasions. But you can still have an impact. And I, like you touched on this, from the narrative point from this point of view, it's so good to have Diaz, to have Taki and Divock now, because they are fresh legs now. They can come in and, like, run everything out they have in that Leeds game, because they won't start in the League Cup finals. So having so many options, even if Bobby is out now, is really good. And, like, I don't know how you think about it. I had that these untouchable players I want to see in the League Cup finals. So it's Trent, Fab, Van Dijk, Thiago and Mo. I want to see these players in the League Cup final.
I will put Sadio in there as well.
I weren't quite sure. So, like,
Henderson is probably enough for Jürgen. Maybe.
Yeah, that's a good question. If Hendo is already back to it, like, we say that he's better now than he was a few weeks ago. But, like, I want to see these players in the final. Is it, like, should we rest them against Leeds? I don't know. Like, because players are different, and maybe some of them need rhythm or they need rest.
Yeah, it's hard.
And in these times, you have to be really careful with that. But I'm quite calm and quite. I enjoy our front three and our striker situation right now.
I'm torn because I'm all right with Divock Origi up front for Leeds. But the problem is that game is so big now. As soon as that result finished on Sunday, Spurs Man City, this game just became even bigger than it was going to be. But you say that, though, like, it took us a while to get past Norwich, past Burnley.
True.
Yeah. If you rest and rotate ahead of Sunday, and again, you don't want people to be injured, I don't think you can worry about that. I think you can ask them to go three times, to go, we're playing Norwich midweek next week, just give me everything you've got.
True.
Yeah, listen, it's a certain option. Let me ask you this question then, Ross. If Jota doesn't make it for the final,
yeah,
is the front three that started against Norwich for you?
Yeah.
Is he going to play Mane up front, do you think?
Yeah.
And you're, that's what you'd go for as well, yeah.
100%. I think it's a better option. Luis Diaz, I think he's still an unknown quantity for many teams, and I quite like that about him. You know, and I think our options in midfield are well stacked, so you can afford to go and do that. So, you know, whether you go to Leeds, it depends on the result of that. Whether we were fortunate to find ourselves a 2-3-0 up. Okay, there's 20 minutes left. One of you can come off. Manny and Salah, with their mentality, don't want to.
No, Salah never rests, so Salah will play.
But Manny's the same. Like, Salah will play, but I think you're in danger of upsetting Manny by saying, "Well, actually, you have this game off." Whether it's for his own benefit or not, but I'm going to play Salah. If Salah plays, Manny wants to play, because they both want to play every single minute for the Liverpool. They want to score goals. They want to win as everything. They want to. They'll be out there. They'll all have their minds at league games and go, We'll close this league title by 3 points. I want to play, I want to score, I want to make a difference. So I don't think you want to upset that. I understand people's concerns about running people into the ground and getting injuries and all that stuff. But by that basis, don't train then.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You're right.
I totally agree with you. And like, you're absolutely right. If we have like, if we're fortunate enough to be good in that game against Leeds and we are 2-3-0 up within the like 50th, 60th, 70th minute, change these front three completely. Bring on Kate Gordon, Minamino and Divock.
I think you're in a position where Leeds obviously played after us.
And they must be, by the way, they must be knackered because they ran around the bog for 90 minutes and got the shit kicked out of them.
I was going to use the phrase a humdinger of a match because that's exactly what it was.
Scott McTominay just volleying them every chance he got.
So they played in terrible conditions. It was end to end. It was a brilliant game. A day after us, they've got their injuries.
Big injuries.
So you've got an opportunity there to go, actually, we've had an extra day's recovery. We've got a bit more squad depth. I fucking go at them for 40 minutes and get the game done in the first half, then you make your decisions afterwards.
Yeah, and like I say, Liverpool are used to playing all these games. Like I say, there's a chance that the Norwich FA Cup game becomes one where you might sit fast. And I've got to remember, by the way, he rotated for the last Norwich game. Like Trent had the game off, Robbo didn't play, Fab didn't play. He has made his changes. I just wonder.
I think you're making for the FA Cup.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, he probably does. It's just whether my thinking on the Origi thing is, if he needs to, you need something in him because you might need him at the final. You can't. I know we come on the other day at Norwich for half an hour, but I'm thinking at some point against Chelsea, Divock, if he's your first sub off the bench, if Jota can't make it, he too needs rhythm. Yeah, and again, it could be the other way around. You could start Mane or Diaz and bring Divock on, or you could say, Divock, give me an hour, get an hour of foot, because he hasn't played for a long time, Evo.
And I would rather start or bring on Div as the first substitute than Taki. Because I still think Taki is not, like, body-wise, he's not physically strong enough. Sometimes he's get like beaten up a little bit and like punched bullied around a little bit. With all respect for him, but like I like Div more in this, and he needs rhythm. That's true.
Yeah, we'll see how Jürgen starts to play it all out. Then what we do know at time recording, Chelsea play tonight as well, so they've got their own thing and they've got a Champions League game, so they're going to go full strength. This tonight, isn't it? Champions League tonight.
This is true.
Yeah, they're playing Lille, aren't they? So yeah, they've got, I mean, again, they should win, but they've got their own things to think about. Liverpool got theirs. Like I say, I don't think, Ross, there might be that much of a disadvantage, really, if both teams have to, because no one's getting that much. Listen, Chelsea get an extra day, I understand that, but in general, you know, they've had the game against Palace, they've got a Champions League game, and they've got the final. So both teams are kind of in the same boat, with players returning from injury, a couple out and stuff, so we'll see how much of an impact it plays then. Like I say, speaking of that final, it is very much Wembley week here at the Red Men TV. We've got you covered on our YouTube channel, and we've got you covered on our streaming service, Red Men Plus, as well. To find out more about what we've got for you in this massive, massive week for Liverpool Football Club, check this out.
Hey everyone, it's Wembley week across the Red Men network. We have got a bunch of free and premium content for you guys to get you ready pre, during and post the League Cup final. Oh yes, it all kicked off with an In Conversation with Stuart Downing, the last man to win Man of the Match when Liverpool won a League Cup final back in 2012. Stuart lifts the lid on what it was like to be on the pitch and in the dressing room in and around that game, his time under Kenny Dalglish, and the fallings out with Brendan Rodgers. We move forward. Liverpool, the League Cup story, a five-part premium podcast series looking at all of Liverpool's previous 8 League Cup wins. Me sat down talking to journalists who covered the Reds at the time. In addition to that, we've also got Silverware Stories, a brand new series authored by Hollyoaks' own James Sutton. It's like CBeebies bedtime stories, but it's the Reds, and it's got incredible insight from men who were involved with the match at the time, the 2001 Women's Cup final, in the words of Phil Thompson, Jamie Carragher, Emil Heskey, Marcus Babbel, Sander Vesterbelt, and Birmingham's goal scorer, Darren Pearce. A fascinating storybook insight into that game. And don't forget as well, on our normal raft of Red Men Plus content, it's a League Cup final themed debate show midweek. We're going to have an Oppo preview. We're going to have the usual free content available on the Red Men YouTube channel. There will be the starting 11 prediction. There will be the build up show. There will be the watch along and the post match videos. But we've also got an incredibly special, different show harking back to the old school deadline day shows. It is the countdown to kickoff live from the Red Men studio. Fun party games and bevvies with a whole host of our best contributors and Club Legend subscribers as well in the build. And don't forget, post-match, you'll have the instant match reaction and the day later, the final word show. And, of course, we'll have content from Wembley itself with Chris and me. Yes, It's Wembley Week here and beyond across the Red Men Network. If you want all of it, then subscribe to Red Men Plus. Go to theredmentv.com. Sign up at either tier, Club Legend or Club Captain. Get the content. Club Legend to get extra perks. Perfect time to follow the mighty Reds on Red Men Plus.
Yeah, so there you have it. That's what we've got coming on Red Men TV and Red Men Plus for this Wembley week. Make sure you are subscribed to the YouTube channel and get the alert. So press the little notification button, and every time we go live one of our shows, you will get a little notification for you to come and join us, just like lots of you guys in the chat are now for this podcast. And like I say, head on over to theredmentv.com, sign up for Red Men Plus and get all those extra bonus features as well. The Liverpool League Cup Story 5-part premium podcast is out now. It is absolutely brilliant. And like I say, episode 1 of Silverware Stories is great too. I especially love Phil Thompson's insight in that. Obviously, he was the man, he was in the brains trust alongside the late, great Gerard Houllier to navigate Liverpool's way to all those finals. Some fascinating stuff there as well. And by the way, Stuart Downing, in terms of his in conversation with, was a much more interesting bloke than perhaps anyone first given credit for. It was a really good interview and really good insight. Again,
when into you say what, anyone, do you mean you?
Yeah. Maybe me then, maybe. But yeah, in terms of like what was going on at Liverpool at the time, obviously ownership changes, manager changes, who's making the signings? Is he a Camoli signing? Is he a Kenny signing? Is he a Rodgers signing? There's absolutely tons to go and get yourself stuck into. So yeah, like I say, head on over to redmentv.com.
Do it.
Check out Red Men Plus. There's never been a better time to join than on Wembley Week. Right then, speaking...
Sorry, Steve, is all that available in podcast form as well?
Oh, good. Well done, Roche. If you are listening to this as a podcast, like plenty of you are, all our interviews, all our features are available in podcast form as well, so you don't have to watch them. You can get them straight into your ears as well in your native podcast app or via the website. So yeah, there's no reason you can't consume every bit of that brilliant, brilliant content.
It's like music in my ears.
Doing my job.
Yeah, well done. There's our social guy just doing his socials on live TV. Thanks, Red Boss. We have tons and tons of build-up to the final, so we don't need to step on too many toes there, Ross. But I think it's worth mentioning now, like, step one of the quadruple, if Liverpool are going to get anywhere near that, which is still a possibility at this time. I want to talk about Chelsea's record, because Chelsea are perennial finalists. Even since 2017, mm-hmm. they've lost an FA Cup final in 17, they won an FA Cup final in 18, they lost the League Cup final in 19, they lost the Super Cup in 20, you referenced that game earlier in the show. They lost the 20 FA Cup. They won. They lost the 21 FA Cup. They won the Champions League final, the Super Cup final, and the Club World Cup final in the last 12 months or so. These are a team who know how to play finals. They don't always win, because there's a lot of L's in there as well, a few penalty shootout losses as well, but they are a team who know what it takes to get to a final. Liverpool haven't really been that recently in the Jürgen era, especially they've had the League Cup final, which they obviously lose.
Their first season.
And obviously the Europa League final. It's a different Liverpool team since then. There's been a lot of changeover. I feel like in terms of that, Chelsea have had a bit more experience than us. The flip side is they've been beaten a lot in finals as well, yeah. And especially in domestic finals. So in terms of advantages, yet they used to be in this far into competitions. They used to be in finals. But the second of all is there are mental scars there. FA Cup final defeats a couple of times, League Cup final defeats, the teams they may or may not should have beaten. How much of an impact do you think that plays, Chelsea's just ability to be in finals more often than not? Under different managers as well, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say, the interesting point of that would see how Tuchel's got on in finals. And obviously, I'm sure the Klopp versus Tuchel thing will come up across the board. Because obviously, we beat them when he was manager at Dortmund. And I think we beat them and lost against them when he was at PSG. So that'd be interesting. It's difficult, isn't it? Because the squad that Chelsea assemble, I think you'd expect them to be in a lot of finals. Yeah. And the way that they've built themselves over the past, 20 years, maybe a little bit less, maybe a little bit longer, to get there. So honestly, the squad will change the mentality. Obviously, there's a good period of, you know, people that have been there for a long time that have won these trophies. But sometimes it can just come down to the day. It's not necessarily a Chelsea's fault. I've always had this with Jürgen Klopp of, like, you know, just people that make crap content, especially for socials, of like, oh, Klopp's always got to a final and he's bottled it. And he's like, half those things, he should never have got to a final. You know, you wouldn't have thought. And then when he did get to one like Dortmund against Bayern Munich, should he have won that? You know, Dortmund against Real Madrid, should he have won that? No, probably not. So give people credit for actually getting to the finals in the first place. I think it can go both ways. You can use that as experience and go, actually, you can use that to their advantage. But also, maybe there's a hunger there from Liverpool of going, well, actually, you know, I know Trent did an interview the other day, I think it was before the Champions League, and said, like, listen, we're not exactly over the moon. We think we should have been in more finals and compete for more trophies. Than
two major, the Klopp era is two major honours, isn't it? Really, I mean, the Super Cup's an honour, but it's and listen, but they are the two biggest ones you can get. But like, he is right.
But again, the mitigating circumstances around that, we always referenced last season. Had any team in a league lost that amount of players that we did in the positions that we did, I still don't think they would have done as well as we did and to finish, right. To finish third in the league.
You're right, but Evo, the separate point is, and I think what Trent's right in saying is, like, no one gives a fuck about your excuses come the end of the season. They look at your medals you've got. Yeah. And as it stands, like, yeah, Super Cup, it was a great win, but like, it's your Champions League, it's your Premier League, it's your domestic cup, that's what people care about. The Super Cup was nice to have. There are so many quality players in this team, world-class footballers, who have got two major medals so far. It's, you know, Virgil has got the obviously, and no disrespect to the titles he's won elsewhere, but in terms of at Liverpool, he's got two. He wants to leave, if he wants to be a Liverpool legend, which he's very much on his way to, so is Mohamed Salah. The Liverpool late greats have got 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 medals, and this is the chance for some of those to get medal number three, a big medal number three. I think that does play a part, doesn't it? Like, whether that brings pressure, whether that brings motivation, there's a lot of players there who you know, is another chance to, when I leave Liverpool at the end of my career, it's just another one. I think Trent's point was really big, actually. I think it's a huge thing for them. Like, that's all people care about when you're talking about legacy and stuff. Go and get another medal.
Defo. And I think, like Ross said, like, you can use it as an advantage for Chelsea that they recently played in a lot of finals. But I think our players and the way we build that squad, that it stay together that long, that shows, like, I've just counted it down, like, from the 20-25 players overall, we have like 14-15 players were there for the Champions League final. They won the Premier League, they won the Super Cup, and they won the World Cup, so we are also experienced.
I should have mentioned, yeah, I did forget the World Cup, I should have mentioned that.
That's also getting the, like, semi-final and the final. Ooh, so it's correct. It's the same, like, it's also the same. We are, like, only missing these domestic cup finals,
yeah.
But except of this, like, it's the same record than the Chelsea's having it. And I think, like, if we talk about momentum, it could be a little bit too normal for Chelsea to just casual to play in it, because they were, like, traveling around, they were in the World Cup, Club World Cup final and everything, and we coming in, like, at that first step, being there again, like, years after 2016, and now having the hands on silverware, like, that close for the first time again, since, like, after last year, think that could be playing out for us.
Yeah,
it used to be like, it felt like there was a pattern emerging in Liverpool, and you just touched on it there. Like, you know, we lost in Kiev. Okay, we'll go with it next season in Madrid. We missed out on the title by a point. Okay, we'll go with it next season. I think Liverpool had such a, again, this circumstances, horrific season last season in terms of trophy haul and whatever else. And obviously, post COVID, there's no fans in stadiums or whatever. I think there's a fire in Liverpool now going, actually, you know, we're talking about our squad depth and people that are around us. That benefits the whole squad. And they're going, actually, looking around the dressing room going, no, we've got a good set of lads here. We can go win stuff. I, for someone who's disregarded the Carabao Cup for years and years, I'm oddly invested in this weekend. I'm bang up for it, and as it should be. And not only is it a significant trophy in terms of obviously getting a piece of silverware, it's what it gives the players and what it means for the rest of the season. So if you can beat Chelsea on Sunday and you win a trophy, it's what, still February at that point, so going into March, then you've got 3 months left of the season of going, actually, that confidence is back through. We've got another medal. Let's go and put three more on the table.
Yep.
Ross gently tweeting about the League Cup throughout the season as a highlight you don't want to miss.
Shit Cup anyway.
Yeah.
Shit Cup anyway.
Yeah.
Your move has changed.
I've said it all the time. I love the
always
League Cup.
I always like the Carabao Cup. It didn't shock you.
Throughout the season.
Yeah. As I've learned plenty of times this season, the internet remains undefeated. They will remember everything you've said and everything you write down. Evo, if you're looking ahead to the final again, we don't want to tread too much on the build-up show, but Liverpool's recent results against Chelsea, bringing them up on the screen for everyone now. So we've had a couple of draws in the last couple of games. We've had 2-2 at Stamford Bridge, 1-1 at Anfield, then there was that 1-0, like, again, mitigating circumstances. Any game that Ozan Kabak played in, I automatically rule out as ever existing. And we had the 2-0...
Liked him.
We had the 2-0 at their place, the 5-3 referenced there. Yeah. More often than not, it's been cagey games against Chelsea. It's a final. We know Liverpool in finals, more often than not, cagey game. It does feel like this one, again, it isn't going to be one where you can just run away with. I imagine at 80 minutes into the game, all three results is very much still on the table at that point. It doesn't feel like where you get an easy one, where you just know. I remember Man United getting Wigan in a cup final once, and where you just knew they were going to win. It isn't that at all. It does feel like whatever happens on Sunday, it's going to be monumental because it's going to be such a hard graft. Even though, again, it's the fourth priority in terms of competition. Even now, we all know going into it, we are all well prepared for the fact that it's going to be a tense, tight, nervy game.
Yeah, definitely. And to talk about this Chelsea record, I mean, for me, it comes. It sounds a little bit too, how do you say it? Sorry, I'm lost for words. It's a little bit too catchy to say that it's only about Tuchel versus Klopp, and they will bring it up in the build-up. But it's definitely a point because they know each other quite well. Tuchel was a successor for Klopp, from Klopp, at Mainz 05, at Dortmund. So somehow they know each other for the last 10, 12 years and how they play football. That can also be an advantage for us against Tuchel. But like, I think that's one of the reasons why it's always a little bit of a nervy game against them. They always gave us a competition. And I think for me, it's much more about just finding a way to win. Because, like, I think we could look back on this, like, in weeks or years, months or years, and not really, like, talking about, this was the one where Luis Diaz scored two, or where Konate had his first header when he came in, or Matip or Van Dijk heading the winner or something. Like, finding different ways to win was, like, the mission of Liverpool for the last 2 months. When the AFCON boys were out and everything, like, we never had, like, a constant way of beating teams, but we did, and we did in different manners, and that's about the thing in the final two.
Yeah, finals are just for winning. I'm with Andy App, one of our members. Andy says, like, we don't want to look back on the Klopp era, Ross, and say, out of potentially 9 years, we only had an 18-month period where we won the trophies. Because at the minute, it is that it was nothing for a while, and then we bunched it up, and then we don't want to end this career with, like, this is another one where, again, my guess is Liverpool will win something this year. I don't know what it will be, how many it will be, but in general, he's right, isn't he? It's an 18 month of greatness for Liverpool to be this great dynasty team. If you can spread these trophies out a bit more as well and add on to that amazing successful period, it's huge.
100%, yeah, well, that's what we're all in it for. I mean, this is why we got Liverpool to levels that we are, and this is why we don't want Jurgen Klopp to lead Liverpool Football Club ever, because he's so good at what does. But what I will say is, bring it back to those circumstances. Like, I believe 100% that Liverpool would have had more trophies had there not been COVID, had there not, you know, the transfer market was completely.
But again, we got
but I know that. But context is important. Steven Gerrard gets slated for, like, never winning the Premier League, but he was one of the best footballers to ever play the game. You know, and certainly not for Liverpool, but ever. So, you know, you look back at frustration, not winning more trophies. I completely understand, but also I think there's absolutely valid reasons. I also think you have to take into account Manchester City, like, you know. And again, this is, you know, it's easy to say, like, Man City weren't around, Liverpool's greatness would stand out, but we don't have the facilities that Man City have, and it's just the way of the world. It doesn't feel fair, but shit happens. Yeah. But Liverpool are now back in that thing where you don't have those excuses of injuries, don't have the excuse of COVID and not having fans inside stadiums, and everything that we used for the past season is all in our favour now. So now's the time to start putting those things, and like Andy says there, get to 2024 and let's have a conversation about how much we have won.
With a bag of medals on the table.
Exactly, yeah.
Ivo, you referenced earlier about, you know, the winning run and momentum and things like that. Losing in a final is a very easy way to halt the good feeling around. Ever since pretty much January, good couple of wins, signing Luis Diaz, more wins, City dropping points elsewhere. The feel-good factor, and we've seen it in all our shows, the comments, the tweets that you get, Ross, have gone from a bit down in the dumps, and all of a sudden the mood, the wave. The best way to end that is to lose in a fucking final. That's another thing that Liverpool have got to be careful of. Like, I always feel Liverpool, when they're in a feel-good moment, are almost untouchable. At some point it will end, Liverpool will drop points or lose a game, but there's an easy way to stop it, is getting beat by Chelsea in a final, can just down in the dumps, the FSG out moaners come in, the transfer policy moaners come in, you know, the squad depth people come, and then the negativity's back again. I think winning a final is just another way to continue it. So it is a big moment, that isn't it? It's a big turning point potentially, one way or the other.
And it showed it, like, in the last years, like, Man City won the League Cup a couple of times.
Yeah, they won, like, four of them.
Okay, like,
and nobody cares.
Yeah, no, nobody cares. Like, yeah, but, like, it shows that it can have a psychological effect for you winning it. Because, like, a couple of weeks ago, I said, like, it is really, to win the League Cup is really good to cap off this whole beginning of the new year, to get through this time and like capping it off with winning the League Cup. But it's also just good for this, and also good for like, okay, that is the start for everything that comes up now. And we have like, this is the ultimate proof that we are ready to do it, because even if it's just the League Cup, when the kickoff is coming around, it's a final, yeah. And it's Liverpool against Chelsea, and
we owe them one.
We owe them one, and I think if we win this, we have it will give us a psychological edge. And just to talk about this again when you say we're going to look back on this time again in 2024, I think if you would have putting us in through the whole Klopp era in every year. If you put this situation on every year we've had so far, to be in that situation, to have a chance for the quadruple, I would feel the utmost confidence in this year.
Like with this squad.
With this squad compared to, like, if we would have had the chance in every year, I wouldn't feel that good about a quadruple chance last year or two or three years, even in the title winning season. I wouldn't feel that good about it because I think our squad depth was not that good. But in this year, it feels like it's that time. It's that time to win something. And we were never that good prepared to go for that challenge than this year.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Steve. I think it's absolutely spot on. Guys, thanks very much for joining. It's been an absolute pleasure. You guys for listening and watching at home, thank you very much as well. Like I say, keep an eye out on the YouTube channel for all our Wembley Week content. There's absolutely tons of it. And there is even more of it streaming on Red Men Plus. So this week's debate show, for a start, will be a League Cup final special. We've got the opposition preview as well with Nini from Blue Lions TV, looking at everything from a Chelsea perspective. As well as that, we've got, like I say, the five-part premium podcast, the League Cup story, which is absolutely brilliant, as is Silverware Stories, as is the In Conversation with Stuart Downing. We've got you covered every which way possible for the League Cup final and, of course, the Leeds United game as well. Me and Errol will be in the studio for that one, for the live watch-along and for all the goodness around it. This is a massive, massive week for Liverpool Football Club. Make sure that you guys, A, enjoy it. This is what we're in it for. Don't be nervous. Don't be too anxious. We are in it for weeks like this. It's absolutely brilliant. Make sure you get involved every single way you can. If you go in the games, enjoy it. If you're not enjoying watching it, watch it with us. Get involved in all the content. What a time to be alive. What a time to be a Liverpool fan. Cast your mind back 12 months ago and how crap it was. It was awful. Enjoy this. What a time to be alive. Like I say, guys, thanks very much. Thank you guys for watching and listening. Again, do not forget, thanks to our sponsors, 888 Poker. If you want to get involved with them, the link is in the description below. Thanks to them. Thanks for you guys. We'll be back very, very shortly with even more Red Men TV content. Until then, I'll see you all soon. Ta-da.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.